In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, and we do this broadcast live. I'm reading from the Book of Maccabees. Now, for Catholics, this is canonical. For non-Catholics, it's not. But it is historical. It's one of the historical things that happened, and I'll tell you in the year, it happened. Well, I'm talking about the year 175 before the coming of Jesus, okay? And listen to what happened, 175 before Christ. This sprang from these a sinful offshoot. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. He became the king in the year 175 B.C. That's what it says, in the footnote. But they give another number here, but that's okay. In those days, there appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law. They seduced many people, saying, "Let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles." Okay, listen. It's like today. Let's become the world church. You know, church, we've got to become modern, just like the world. You know, we've got to do what the world does. Let us make an alliance with the Gentiles all around us. Since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us. The proposal was agreeable, and some from among the people promptly went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. In other words, the Jewish people started to live just like the pagans. Isn't that something? Just like what's happening in the church for so many years, that the Christians are living just like the pagans. Yes, the pagans have abortions, and the Christians have abortions. Oh, the pagans watch pornography, and the Christians watch pornography. Well, God wants to bring deliverance. God wants to bring deliverance. God wants to bring deliverance. So what happened? Thereupon they built gymnasium. A gymnasium, okay? This is gold, you know, G-O-L-D. Yeah, because the Gentiles, they used to have gymnasia. So what happened? We're going to have a big gymnasium in Jerusalem. And they built this in Jerusalem according to the Gentile custom. Well, the Gentile custom was that the people in the gymnasium would run around doing their exercises in their birthday suits, okay? That's just the way it was. So what did the Jews do? They covered over the mark of their circumcision, and they abandoned the holy covenant of God. In other words, we're not Jews anymore. God said to Abraham that he made a covenant with Abraham, and the sign of the covenant was that the men would be circumcised. So what do the Jews do? They take away the mark of circumcision, and what happens? What happens? They join the nations. They want to live like everybody else. They do not want to follow the covenant of God. They do not want to follow the law of Moses, because now we are modern people. We are the people of the gymnasium. We are the people that do what everybody else does. Isn't that amazing? Sounds like today. Now, this happened in the year, I told you, of 100 and... whatever. Amazing. It's amazing. It's just like today. Okay, let me continue. After Antiochus had defeated Egypt in the year 143, he returned and went up to Israel and to Jerusalem with a strong force, and he invaded the sanctuary, that's the temple, and took away the golden altar, the lampstand, for the light with all of its fixtures. the offering table, the cups and the bowls, the golden censers, the curtain, the crowns, the golden ornaments of the facade of the temple, and he stripped off everything and took away the gold and silver vessels, and he also took all the hidden treasures he could find. Taking all this, he went back to his own country, and after he had spoken with great arrogance and shed much blood. And he also offered a pig, the unclean animal, at the Holy of Holies. Listen to this. Do you remember the Feast of Hanukkah? Feast of Hanukkah, what is it? It's a winter feast. We see it in the 8th chapter of John. It's a winter feast. It is the rededication of the temple. The temple that was desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Do you see what I'm saying? They had to rededicate and re-cleanse the temple with blood. What do they call that feast? They call that feast Hanukkah, the rededication of the temple. So we see that history plays a part in the scriptures. Antiochus Epiphanes IV desecrated the covenant of God, and the people of God joined him. Because you see, I'm going to tell you, it's easier to be like everybody else. It is. It's easy. It's easy to be like everybody else. It's easy to be a follower, and it's difficult to be a leader. Because you know what? Everybody likes to be liked. And you know, if I put up my words and say, this is appalling to God and to me, people are going to say, you're not very modern. Who do you think you are? You've got to live and let live. Yeah, I got to live and let live, but you want to know what? I'm the first to call myself a sinner, but I can tell you, I don't want to partake in sin. Do I sin? Oh, yes, I sin. But when I sin, I've got to repent. And the blood of Jesus washes away my sin. But I cannot take the stance that sin is the norm. It cannot be. It cannot be. I have to hate what God hates. God hates sin because sin destroys. Destroys people. Destroys marriages. Destroys people. Now, what makes sense now? Just think about this. The temple is desecrated. Many of the people of God have forsaken the covenant. Not only did they take away the marks of circumcision, you know, they didn't observe the Sabbath. They didn't observe the law of Moses. I'm reading now the 54th verse, first chapter. On the 15th day of the month of Chislev, in the year of 145, the king Antiochus Epiphanes erected the horrible abomination upon the altar of Holocaust. That's the pig. And in the surrounding cities of Judah, they built pagan altars. They also burnt incense at the doors of houses and in the streets. And any scrolls of the law which they found were torn up and burnt. And whoever was found with the scroll of the covenant was condemned to death by the royal decree. So they used their power against Israel and against those who were caught each month in the cities. On the 25th day of each month, they sacrificed on the altar erected over the altar of holocausts. Women who had their children circumcised were put to death in keeping with the decree, with the babies hung from their necks, their families also, and those who had themselves circumcised were killed. But many in Israel were determined and resolved in their hearts not to eat unclean food. They preferred to die rather than to be defiled with unclean food or profane the holy covenant, and they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. Oh my. Yes, this is it was the 25th month of 25th day of Chislev. Do you know what day the sanctuary was rededicated and cleansed? Years later, on the 25th day of Chislev. We see that in the midst of all this pain and women dying and their babies being killed because they were circumcised and families being killed and the law being burnt, we see that God raised up a righteous remnant that says, we will not take part in any of this. We will uphold the holy covenant of God. We will not eat pork or unclean food. We will observe the Sabbath laws. And what does it say? It says, they preferred to die rather than to be defiled with unclean food or to profane the holy covenant, and they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. I tell you that in the midst of all the things that go wrong, all the things that hate Christ and hate the church, God raises up a righteous remnant that will know him and know his beloved son and will proclaim the word of God and will pray for the sick and will do the things that need to be done. In the midst of a world that is anti-Christ, in the midst of the world that hates Jesus and hates the church, God will raise up people who will prefer death rather than sin. I told you last week that 171,000 people will die for Jesus Christ throughout the world. Throughout the world. You Google it. Christian martyrs during 2010. Christian martyrs in 2011. The number of Christian martyrs. I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you, though the world swallows up so many people in the church, though the people in the church say it's all right for gay marriage, it's all right for birth control, it's all right to have mercy on an old person, just starve them. There will be righteous people that will say, I have given my life to Jesus Christ, and I cannot go along with this. I tell you, and you have to listen to me, okay? You have to listen to me. If your family goes on hospice, make sure they're fed. Make sure they're fed. Make sure that morphine is not given to them to the point that helps them to die. You give enough morphine to keep them out of pain. You don't want to give morphine to kill a person. I'm telling you, every hospice is not Christian hospice. That's just the way it is. You've got to be careful because we are living in the society of death, the culture of death, as John Paul II called it. And death is the norm. Death is the norm. Death is the norm. But in the middle of this, God will raise up righteous people that love him and that will obey him. Not only obey the law, but obey him, would give their whole lives to him. Are you one of those righteous people, even though you sin? Are you one of those people that want to live for Jesus to the end? Are you one of those people that cannot go along with evil? You cannot go along with evil, even though you sin. Are you one of those people? God wants to raise you up to be his beloved son, his beloved daughter, wants to raise you up to be the light of the world, to shine like a star in this crooked and perverse generation. God wants to raise you up to be a star, a star. We need stars in this generation. We need people that will be stars in this generation. First of all, that would love the Lord their God with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind, their whole being. That's the first thing. And we would love our neighbor as Jesus loves us. God wants to raise up righteous people, people that are imperfect. We're all so imperfect. People that are sinners that are saved by grace. The Lord wants to raise people up. And no matter how many times you've fallen, he always is ready to take you back. There's never a time that he will say, too bad, you did it for the last time. Yes, yes, they preferred to die rather than to be defiled with unclean food or to profane the holy covenant, and they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. In the United States, there is no affliction, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You listen to Father Tom. This is prophetic. They will take away our tax-free number. Hallelujah. I think that will not be a bad thing. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you the people that want to give will give because they're giving for Jesus Christ, not because they're going to take it off their income tax. Yes, I take it off my income tax now, but you know what? Whether that be real or not real, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give anyway, and I'm going to give the same amount, if not more, because it doesn't matter whether I take it off my income tax or not. Well, I'm going to tell you, one of these days, the church will lose her tax-free number, especially if Obama is re-elected. You will see that. And you know what? I don't think that will be bad, because I'm going to tell you, then we're going to have to depend upon Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And not upon dead presidents on green pieces of paper. You know? You know what I'm saying? I am grateful that in season and out of season has a tax-free number. I am grateful. But you want to know what? If they told me I could not preach the way I'm preaching, or they'd take it away from me, you know what? Take it away from me. Just take it away from me, because you know what? No one's going to stop me from preaching the way I need to preach. No one is going to put a muzzle on the preacher. The devil has tried to do that enough times. No human being is going to put a muzzle on this preacher by the grace of God. And if it means, you know, they take away my tax-free number, well, let them have it, because I would rather be on fewer stations proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the blood of the Lamb, proclaiming the morality that he wants us to live as Christians. I would rather be on fewer stations than to compromise. Compromise is of the devil. Do you understand? It is of the devil, and it is so easy to compromise. Yes, 171,000 people will give their lives for Jesus Christ this year. They are not people that know the word compromise. They are people that walk in the power of the Spirit. They are Catholic. They are Orthodox. They are Protestant. They are non-denominational. They are martyrs. They have found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. Just as the righteous Jews found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for, they went all the way, even to death, as it says. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. I tell you, when affliction hits the church in America, then we'll find out who are the faithful people. When affliction hits the church in America, and it will hit the church in America, we will find out
who will hold out until the end. When affliction hits the church in America, then we will find out who are the children of God and who are the children of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that everyone that calls themselves a Christian, it ain't necessarily so. Just because I am in a garage doesn't make me a car. Just because I'm in the church doesn't make me a Christian. St. Augustine said, everyone the church has, Christ doesn't have. And everyone Christ has, the church doesn't have. But there will be a faithful remnant. There will always be a faithful remnant who will stand under the covenant of the Lord. And the covenant of the Lord is the new and eternal covenant in the blood of Jesus. This is the covenant. This is the covenant. Take and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Do this. It will be shed for you and for many for the remission of your sins. Do this in memory of me. The new and eternal covenant is in the blood of Jesus. That is the covenant where God writes his laws upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? The new and eternal covenant. There will always be a righteous remnant. I pray that God would let me be part of that righteous remnant when there is persecution in the church, when there is persecution in America. I pray that I would be part of that righteous remnant, that even though terrible affliction will be upon the church, that I would not give out and give up and buckle because of outward pressures. I tell you, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult. Okay, we'll continue this tomorrow. We'll continue this tomorrow. We want to pray first. Lord, we come to you because we are weak. But the scripture says, rejoice when you are weak, because when you are most weak, then you are most strong. We do not rely upon ourselves, O God, because we are nothing. We rely upon you and upon your grace, for your grace is sufficient. Father, I ask for the outpouring of grace in our lives like we've never experienced it before. I ask, Lord, that you would make us ready for the great persecution which is coming to Europe and to the West, to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that we would not buckle under the pressure. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus, for you know how weak we are, O God, and you know how fickle our hearts are, O God. You alone can change our fickle hearts. You alone can change our sinful ways. We depend upon you and upon the blood that was shed for us on the cross. May the name of God be praised both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting, may the name of the Lord be praised. Blessed be the God of Israel. Blessed be the God of Jacob. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God forever and forever, for he is worthy of all of our praise, all of our adoration, all of our heart's desires. Blessed be the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. More tomorrow. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the word of God. And you know what? I have been privileged to be able to do this for 27 years. It is a privilege to be able to speak to you. Only God knows who is being reached and who is being touched. I was extra loud today because outside they're painting a fence and they're talking, and I just didn't want to be distracted. It's hard enough to keep my mind where it needs to be kept. So I was extra loud today because of that. They're out there painting a little fence and they're having a good time talking to each other. while the broadcast is going on. So I was extra loud. So if I offended you by being extra loud, you know what? Glory to God. That's all I can say. I had to do it. I just had to do it because I couldn't be distracted. Listen now, I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. It's as easy as that. We cannot be on your stations unless you respond. And any gift is good. Any gift and every gift is good. Anything that you can give. You know, the address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You can go to www.inseason.net and you can pay on PayPal a gift. You can do a gift on PayPal. I don't know how to do things like that, but I'm sure many of you people who hear me know how to use PayPal. So you go to www.inseason.net and you can leave your gift on PayPal. We will get it. I also want to tell you that we have many, many CDs and many, many television programs that are on www.inseason.net. There is a link that will link you up to our programs and to our television programs. www.inseason.net. Again, the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord, make us faithful, even if it's difficult. We are in need of your grace. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.